And welcome to Pasco Democrats News for You, podcast designed to bring you ideas about issues and interviews with candidates for office so that our Democratic voters are well-informed and prepared to vote. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. For further information, please check out our website, pascodems.com, and on Facebook and other social media sites.
Good morning. This is Cynthia Garrow, and I am the Vice President of the Trinity Democratic Club in Pasco County, Trinity, Florida. How are you today, Gail?
Oh, just fine, just fine. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say about your experiences.
Okay, well, I was born and raised in Syracuse, New York, and born and raised a Democrat. My father was always a registered Democrat, although he had moderate leanings. He felt that that was the party for us, and that is how he raised myself and my brother and my sister. My mom also, although not a registered voter until just this past year, and she voted for Joe Biden. She registered as a Democrat at the age of 90 and voted for the very first time on the 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote. She was always very Democratic in her leanings. We were somewhat of a political family. My dad liked to talk politics at dinner, so that's how I gained an interest in that as well. And like I said, he was, you know, a middle-of-the-road Democrat, and he always taught us that regardless of political affiliation, you should always vote for the best person for the job. And we all did that. Upstate New York is a Republican area, and so there are always more Republicans that run than Democrats, but a lot of them actually were the right first person for the job, and I would always vote across political lines based on that. Although myself, I was very much more liberal, especially with the influence of my older brother and sister. We were all boomers in different stages of the 60s and 70s. And even in middle school, at only the age of 13, I actually staged a sit-in to protest that they would not allow girls to play football in the playground. Huge football family. I loved to play football, did all the time with my friends after school. So I organized a team for break during the day when we had playground play, got very much in trouble. I staged a sit-in and had about 50 other girls, all of us in middle school, that did a sit-in. We didn't win, but it sort of started the whole process for me through the years.
Very interesting. Right. Oh, by the way, just to interrupt for a moment, when we say upstate New York, we're talking near Syracuse and Skaneateles, right? It used
Correct.
To be.
Outside of New York City. We're talking right. Way up by Canada.
Right. I used to know some people from New York City who used to say that upstate New York was anything north of 47th Street.
So, right, yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, going back to your story.
True upstate New York. Very rural, a lot of farms, a lot of industry, a lot of open space, a lot of beautiful open space, mm-hmm. all the way up to the Adirondacks. So, and it was also where New York City was very Democratic, upstate, the majority of upstate New York, except maybe in the downtown areas of Buffalo and Rochester and Syracuse, was very Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But not the Republican that we know today. The true Republican that actually, you know, would work across party lines.
Right.
Right up until basically the 90s. And then that sort of all went to the side, unfortunately.
Right. Now, you worked on some campaigns and so forth. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, I did. So as I got older and had a little bit of free time after school, after I was done with school and I was working, I campaigned for several different Democratic people, and most specifically at the time, Congressman Dan Battey. He unfortunately was only a one-term Democrat in the upstate Syracuse area. His rebid, he lost to a Tea Party Republican, unfortunately, and they were starting to come in to be strong. I did have personal experience with Mr. Maffei, as he was a very big supporter of veterans and pretty much taking care of them post-service and making sure that the VA had what they needed in order to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Syracuse was actually one of the highest rated VA hospitals in the country. Okay. And a lot of that was due to his work. Wow. And then he helped me out personally. My dad was a veteran in World War II, the Navy. And unfortunately, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 2004. And as his care needed to be at a point where he needed to be in a care facility, we found one that was private pay, but his income didn't cover. And we went to Mr. Maffei, and he was able to secure for us aid and attendance through the VA and expedited it for us so that we could move him sooner rather than later, because sometimes that can be like a two-year process.
Okay.
And we couldn't thank him enough for that. So I worked diligently for his campaign, but unfortunately, he did lose his reelection.
So you moved to Florida, so why?
Yes, exactly. So after the 2008 bubble, I had an excellent position in social work, but my husband was a general contractor. And the economy for upstate New York and Syracuse area construction right. just did not rebound. Mm-hmm. So we decided with all the construction going on in Florida, this is where we would come.
Mm-hmm.
I knew coming in that I certainly was not going to be in a Democratic area. And we used to joke with my friends before we moved that I was going to have to learn the secret knock to find the other Democrats that few that would probably be living in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was going to do with myself.
Right.
But I got lucky. I, through work, completely random thing, I work for the Guardian Ad Litem program. We had a volunteer that came in to donate toys and said that they had been donated by the Trinity Democratic Club. Was beside myself because there was actually not only Democrats, which I thought, really? I'm not the only one?
Right.
But
right.
there was an actual club. And I went to their meeting that was 2 weeks later and never looked back. And now I'm vice president.
Yes. Well, that's very interesting how you got where you are. And one of the things though it gives rise to is this. In this morning's newspaper, in the Tampa Times, there's an article in terms of the political makeup of Florida and why it's more red than blue. And so
right.
I read the article, and all of a sudden it occurred to me that maybe two things are happening here. How do we get Democrats to be known? Let's talk right now, Pasco County. How do we get Democrats to be known? And is there something valuable in saying, let's turn Pasco County blue? Given the fact that there are 40,000 more Republicans, is that a legitimate task? Is there any way, perhaps different way, we should look at getting people to vote Democratic? So there's two or three things we'd like you to talk about.
Yes, exactly. I mean, on the face value of it, you would think that that's a pointless task, that there would be no way to overcome that in Pasco County. But in reality, there, especially with the post-Trump era, of so many, which I consider true Republicans, that actually left the party and went non-party affiliation because they didn't agree with the uber right-wing way that the party has been leaning. There are a lot of MPAs out there that are going to vote on the Democratic side. But the problem is they don't know we're here. They only see it as a minority. And that has been the biggest problem is that they're, you know, just like I had no idea, there was no visibility. I think Democrats through the years in this area have been very hesitant to be out in the open because they felt being the minority party and the way politics have become so partisan that, you know, it was a little frightening. But I think we're now at the point that it's time to put ourselves out there, and that's to create more visibility. We have to get known. We have to get seen.
Yeah.
And we have the outreach committee this year from the DEC, Pasco County DEC, and it's really going to make a difference. And I think that is going to pull in the other third, and those are MPAs. That could truly make Pasco go blue.
Yeah. I hope that works. And one of the things to bear in mind is in the early 80s, Democrats were in power in Pasco
yes.
County. Unfortunately, the Board of County Commissioners at that point got into a bit of a problem. I've forgotten two or three of them got arrested for bad things in terms of politics, etc. And it was about, the mid-80s when the Republicans began to stand up and become counted. And by the time I became involved down here with the Democrats in the year 2000, we found, among other things, we didn't have very much money. We didn't seem to have a way of making ourselves known. It was as if we were, in fact, just not existent, so to speak. Yes, we had one or two people who ran for office, but again, it was that kind of thing where people would say, "You mean there are Democrats in Pasco?" At that point, I think there was only about 8 or 10,000 more Republicans registered than Democrats, and NPAs were still way, way back in the 80s. That, of course, has changed a great deal in the last few years. Do you have any particular thoughts, Cynthia, about how we get known, how we get ourselves out there in the public eye?
Right. And I do think that things run in a cycle, too, because it was before my time here in Florida that Florida did lean to be blue. And that obviously has, reversed. And I think it'll come back again. I think people will start to understand that actually having policy and passing bills that actually help you to live your, normal life, mm-hmm. You'll see more people come back. But really, we have to not be so hesitant. We have to not be afraid. And we need to not just message to the people. I think the biggest thing the Democrats have done is not come on the same terms as the people that they're trying to reach. You've got to talk to people, not at people. I think that we're stepping in that direction by putting ourselves out there and helping, food drives and working with people and talking to people and making ourselves more visible and really stepping out and not just having our monthly meetings and calling it good, but really every day and every week and every weekend attending fairs and festivals and events and making ourselves known.
In other words, it's not a matter of people coming to the Democrats. It's a matter of Democrats coming to the people.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, you got it, Kale. That's exactly right.
And one of the things also to talk about now is that you've had a fair amount of success in terms of the Trinity Club and in particular getting speakers. And I wonder if you'd spend a minute or so talking about your experience in getting speakers and how well it's gone, and maybe tell us about some of the speakers you've actually had.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Trinity Democratic Club, which this is our 9th year. The original founders, most of them have now retired from the positions in the club, but they did a fantastic job of being able to secure, really good speakers every month. And that has come to be what we're known for, is that instead of just a general discussion at our meetings, we also have a great speaker every month. Mm-hmm. And I have taken over that position since becoming vice president over the past year. And I was really hesitant at first because I thought, how did they do this? But it's surprising how easy it is to get really good speakers. They want to come and speak at your clubs, whether they're nonpartisan, Republican or Democrat. They love to do this. So it's literally as easy as sending an email to every one of you can think of and just explain who you are and what we're looking for. And they've come out of the woodwork and have no problem. Like, I'd be absolutely happy. So we've had some great people. We have had Rob Lori, from WEDU in Florida this week, which was a great presentation.
And certainly,
McManus.
One of the most widely known people in our whole central Florida area. Right.
And it's just, fantastic. And here locally, Brian Corley, the supervisor of elections, who keeps us up to date on everything that is happening as far as registering and voting here in Pasco County. He's a very well-known supervisor and actually travels all over the country teaching other places the systems he has in place because it runs so well in Pasco.
He's
great.
Extremely valuable person for us to have
yes.
in Pasco County. Okay, well, in order to sort of finish this off a bit, is there anything that you want to just say to Democrats who are listening to this, or to those people who may not be Democrats but have tuned in because they want to find out what we're doing?
I would say come and check us out. Keep an eye out. There's multiple clubs. There's the monthly meetings once a quarter that are open to all political affiliations the county is hosting with speakers and interesting topics. It's right now it's Zoom. We're starting to go back in person, but we're going to do hybrid. So, you know, however you want to come, it's, you know, an hour of your time, an hour and a half. Come hear our speakers. Come check us out. Okay. Come see us at a table at a festival. Okay. This is how you're going to learn what we're all about, and that it's not really just about politics. Okay. It's really about making lives of everyday people and ourselves better.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Cynthia, for your time. I'm sure we'll get back together with you, and I'll stop it there.